And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city. And I keep being asked if I'm doing the ghost walk in El Paso. And no, I'm not. People have gotten a hold of the book I did on the ghost of El Paso. They tell my stories and, in effect, copy what I did. I did it for 20 years until just decided 20 years was enough. So, today's March the 2nd, 61st day of the year. 304 days remain till the year's over with. On this day in 537, in the Siege of Rome, the Ostrogoth army under King Vitiges begins the siege of the capital. Belisarius conducts a delaying action outside the Flaminian Gate, and he and a detachment of his Fusilari are almost cut off. 986, Louis V becomes the last Carolingian king of West Francia after the death of his father, Lothair. 1444, Skanderbeg organizes a group of Albanian nobles to form the League of Lecce. 1458, George of Podebrady is chosen as the king of Bohemia. I had somebody ask me what the Kingdom of Bohemia was. Sometimes referred to in English literature as the Czech Kingdom. Medieval and early modern monarch in Central Europe. Predecessor of the modern Czech Republic. It was an imperial state in the Holy Roman Empire, and the Bohemian king was a prince elector of the empire. The kings of Bohemia, besides the region of Bohemia proper itself, also ruled other lands belonging to the Bohemian crown, which at various times included Moravia, Silesia, Lusatia, and parts of Saxony, Brandenburg, and Bavaria. So it was not a small operation by a long shot. 1476, Burgundian Wars. The old Swiss Confederacy hands Charles the Bald, Duke of Burgundy, a major defeat in the Battle of the Grandson in Canton of Nucatel. 1484, the College of Arms is formally incorporated by royal charter signed by King Richard III of England. 1498, Vasco da Gama's fleet visits the island of Mozambique. 1657, the Great Fire of Mirakai begins in Edo, now Tokyo, causing more than 100,000 deaths before it just burns itself out 3 days later. 1776, American Revolutionary War. Patriot militia units attempt to prevent capture of supply ships in and around the Savannah River by a small fleet of the Royal Navy in the Battle of the Rice Boats. 1791, Claude Chappe demonstrates the first semaphore line in Paris. 1797, the Bank of England issues the first £1 and £2 banknotes. 1807, the U.S. Congress passes the Act prohibiting importation of slaves, disallowing importation of new slaves into the country. 1811, Argentine War of Independence. A royalist fleet defeats a small flotilla of revolutionary ships in the Battle of San Nicolas on the River Plate. 1815, signing of the Candian Convention Treaty by British invaders and the leaders of the Kingdom of Kandy. 1836, the Texas Revolution. Declaration of Independence of the Republic of Texas from Mexico was adopted. 1855, Alexander II becomes Tsar of Russia. 1859, the two-day Great Slave Auction, the largest auction in U.S. history, begins on this date. 1865, the East Cape War, the Volkner Incident in New Zealand takes place. Now, the Volkner Incident is the murder of the German-born Protestant missionary Carl Silvius Volkner in New Zealand in 1865. And the subsequent miscarriage of justice by the government of New Zealand during the New Zealand Wars. Now, the Maori said Volkner was a government spy. It was thought he was sent by Governor George Grata to basically plot a British invasion. Well, on March 2nd, Volkner, who was a Protestant missionary, discovered his Maori congregation and moved from Christianity to Pyrea. Like many Europeans in isolated communities, he sent reports of anti-government activity to the governor. And although he was warned to stay away from the town, on his next visit he was captured, put on trial, and hung from a tree. Then his body was decapitated an hour later. One of the members of the congregation was alleged to have re-entered the church and conducted a service with Volkner's head in the pulpit beside him. He was also alleged to have plucked out the dead missionary's eyes and swallowed them. One eye allegedly represented Parliament and the other the Queen. News of the murder caused great alarm and anger among the Pakia. Well, like many terrorist groups, they may win today, but they lose tomorrow. All right. 1867, Congress passes the first Reconstruction Act. 1877, just 2 days before inauguration, Congress declares Rutherford B. Hayes the winner of the 1876 presidential election, even though Samuel Tilden, my ancestor, won the popular vote. 1882, Queen Victoria narrowly escapes an assassination attempt by Roderick McLean in Windsor. 1901, U.S. Steel Corporation is founded as a result of a merger between Carnegie Steel and Federal Steel Company, which became the first corporation in the world with a market value over $1 billion. Also in 1901, Congress passes the Platt Amendment, limiting the autonomy of Cuba as a condition of the withdrawal of American troops. 1903, New York City, the Martha Washington Hotel opens up, becomes the first hotel exclusively for women. You know, those that push for all this stuff don't seem to grasp the concept. When you do something like this, you discriminate against everyone else. But it doesn't matter as long as it's for a good cause, as some complete moron once said to me. 1917, the enactment of the Jones-Shafroth Act grants Puerto Rico's U.S. citizenship. 1919, the first Communist International meets in Moscow. 1932, Finnish President P.E. Svinhufvud gives a radio speech. 4 days later, finally ended the Mansala Rebellion and the far-right Lupua movement that started it. 1937, the Steelworkers Organizing Committee signs a collective bargaining agreement with U.S. Steel. That leads to unionization of the United States steel industry. 1939, Cardinal Eugenio Pacelli is elected Pope and takes the name Pius XII. 1941, World War II. The first German military units enter Bulgaria after it joins the Axis. 1943, World War II. The first German Allied aircraft defeat a Japanese attempt to ship troops to New Guinea. 1949, Captain James Gallagher lands his B-50 Super Fortress Lucky Lady 2 in Fort Worth, Texas, after completing the first non-stop around-the-world airplane flight. Took him 94 hours and 1 minute. 1955, Norodom Sihanouk, King of Cambodia, abdicates the throne in favor of his father, Norodom Sirisenghe. 1962, in Burma, the army led by General Ne Win seizes power in a coup d'etat. 1962, Wilt Chamberlain sets the single game scoring record in the National Basketball Association by scoring 100 points in a single game. 1965, the U.S. and Republic of Vietnam Air Force began Operation Rolling Thunder. That was a sustained bombing campaign against North Vietnam. 1968, the Bagger Ridge Colliery closes, marking the end of over 300 years of coal mining in the Black Country. 1969, in Toulouse, France, the first test flight of the Anglo-French Concorde is conducted. 1970, Rhodesia declares itself a republic, breaking its last links with the British Crown. 1972, the Pioneer 10 space probe is launched from Cape Canaveral with a mission to explore the outer planets. 1977, Libya becomes the Socialist People's Libyan Arab Shemahiara, as the General People's Congress adopted a declaration on the establishment of the authority of the people. Have you noticed how the more despotic a dictatorship is, the more it's for the people? 1978, Czech Vladimir Remek becomes the first non-Russian or non-American to go into space when he's launched aboard Soyuz 28. 1983, compact disc and players are released for the first time in the U.S. and other markets. They'd previously been available only in Japan. 1989, 12 European community nations agreed to ban the production of all chlorofluorocarbons by the end of the century. 1990, Nelson Mandela is elected deputy president of the African National Congress. 1991, Battle of Lamaya Airfield brings an end to the 1991 Gulf War. 1992, started a war in Transnistria. The Transnistrian War broke out November 2nd, 1990, in the Basari between pro-Transnistrian forces, including the Republican Guard, militia, and neo-Cossack units, and the pro-Moldovan forces, which included Moldovan troops and police. It's sometimes called the Moldo-Russian War. Ukraine is on one side of the area, Moldova and Romania on the other side. It can get rather confusing in some of the European areas. Alrighty, let's go back to what we were talking about. 1992, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Moldova, San Marino, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, all of which except for San Marino were former Soviet republics, joined the United Nations. 1995, researchers at Fermilab announced the discovery of the top quark. 1998, data sent from the Galileo spacecraft indicates Jupiter's moon Europa as a liquid ocean under a thick crust of ice. 2002, U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. Operation Anaconda begins. Ends on March 19th after killing 500 Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters with 11 Western troop fatalities. 2004, war with Iraq. Al-Qaeda carries out the Ashura massacre in Iraq, kills 170 and wounds over 500. 2012, a tornado outbreak occurs over a large section of the southern U.S. and into the Ohio Valley region, resulting in 40 tornado-related fatalities. And in 2017, the elements Muscovium, Tennessine, Organosine are officially added to the periodic table in a conference in Moscow, Russia. Well, a lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Far too many for us to discuss. Holidays and observances in Sri Lanka, it's Air Force Day. In Balochistan, it's Baloch Culture Day. Christian Feast Day, Agnes of Bohemia, Angela of the Cross, Blessed Charles the Good, Count of Flanders, Chad of Mercia in the Catholic Church, Anglican Communion in the Eastern Orthodox Church, John Morone, Feast of Allah, meaning loftiness, first day of the 19th month of the Bahia calendar, and the Bahia faith, and first day of the Bahia 19-day fast, Jemahirara Day in Libya, National Read Across America Day in the U.S., Peasants Day in Myanmar, Texas Independence Day, and Victory at Adwa City in Ethiopia. Well, let's see what else we might have on this particular date. Okay, 1791. Okay, we talked about that. 1796, Napoleon Bonaparte's appointed commander-in-chief of the French army in Italy. 1888, the Convention of Constantinople is signed, guaranteeing free maritime passage through the Suez Canal during war and peace. 1946, Ho Chi Minh elected president of North Vietnam. 1956, Morocco tears up the Treaty of Fez, declaring independence from France. 2002, U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. We talked about that, Operation Anaconda. Let's see. No, there are. There we go. All righty. 986, Louis V becomes King of the Franks. 1121, Dirk VI becomes Count of Holland. 1127, assassination of Charles the Good, Count of Flanders. Uh, 1629, English King Charles I dissolves Parliament against opposition and actually locks up nine members of Parliament who pissed him off. 1675, Prince William III is installed as governor of Obergefell. 1776, American troops begin shelling the British in Boston. 1778, U.S. General Nathaniel Greene is appointed Quartermaster General of the Continental Army under George Washington's command. Pennsylvania ends prohibition of theatrical performances. 1799, Congress standardizes U.S. weights and measures. 1808, the inaugural meeting of the Wimmerian Natural History Society, former Scottish Learned Society, was held in Edinburgh. 1817, the first evangelical church building is dedicated in New Berlin, Pennsylvania. 1819, the territory of Arkansas is organized. 1824, interstate commerce comes under federal control. 1829, New England Asylum for the Blind, the first in the U.S., is incorporated in Boston. Uhm, 1831, John Frazee becomes the first U.S. sculptor to receive a federal commission. And in 1836, I just discovered another ancestor, George Childress, was the author of the Texas Declaration of Independence. In 1853, the Territory of Washington is organized after it separates from the Oregon Territory. 1855, Alexandra Romanov becomes Tsar of Russia. 1858, Frederick Cook of New Orleans patents a cotton bale metallic tie. Because when cotton is baled, if you can't keep it together, it'll just explode all over you. Some of my earliest memories are picking up bales of hay out in the field. 1861, U.S. creates Dakota and Nevada territories out of the Nebraska and Utah territories. 1865, British newspaper Morning Chronicle begins publication. 1865, Freedmen's Bureau is founded for black education in 1865. 1865, Confederate General Early's army is defeated at the Battle of Waynesboro in Virginia during the American Civil War. 1865 saw the beginning of the Second Taranaki War. That's when the Volker incident took place in New Zealand that I talked about. 1866, the first U.S. company to make sewing machine needles was incorporated in Connecticut. 1867, U.S. Congress abolishes peonage in New Mexico. Also in 67, Congress creates the Department of Education. On this day in 1867, Jesse James Gang robs a bank in Savannah, Missouri. One person killed. 1872, politician and revolutionary Luis Real goes into voluntary exile in St. Paul, Minnesota. In 1889, Kansas passes the first U.S. antitrust law. 1893, the first U.S. federal railroad legislation is passed. It requires safety features to be installed. 1899, President McKinley signs a bill creating Mount Rainier as a national park. 1901, Hawaii opens its first telegraph company. 1907, General Louis Botha was named the first Prime Minister of South Africa. Well, it became South Africa. It was called Transvaal then. 1910, two trains crash in the snow. A major snow storm in Wellington, Washington. 118 people die. And in 1915, British Vice Admiral Sackville Hamilton Carden begins bombardment of Dardanelles forts. Well, I think we've pretty much come to the end of a little history segment. You know, we've been talking about all kinds of strange things. And this is a strange world. A lot of folks refuse to recognize that, but in fact, that is the case. When you start talking about the paranormal, what you have to keep in mind is the rules no longer apply. And that being the case, there's absolutely no way to anticipate what's going to happen. Well, a lot of scientists say that if you can't prove it in a laboratory, it doesn't exist. And that's kind of bizarre for the simple reason that some things just cannot be proven in the laboratory. You know, one of the people that talked at great length about the basis of what you might passingly refer to as time travel, of course, was Einstein. Now, there is evidence that time travel is a reality. School teacher named Jane O'Neill had an interest in architecture and history. So in 1973, she visited Fotheringhay Church in Northamptonshire, England. That was a place where Mary, Queen of Scots, was executed. And for some reason, and she doesn't know why, that building drew her like a magnet. And the visit seemed normal enough. Spent a great deal of time admiring a splendid picture of the crucifixion behind the altar and an arch that held a dove. The dove's wings, and the way it was installed, actually followed the curve of the arch. Now, a few hours later, she's talking to a friend of hers who had visited that church many, many times, and she talked about what she had seen. And her friend just looked at her in total confusion. She said she'd never seen the crucifixion picture nor the arch. So she called up the local postmistress to arrange the flowers at the church every Sunday and ask her about it. And the postmistress told there was no arch, there was no picture of the crucifixion. Now, a year later, Jane went back to Fotheringhay Church. Outside was exactly what she remembered from the first time. But when she went inside, she knew she was in a different building. It was smaller. No painting of the crucifixion. Even a dove above the altar was totally different than the one she remembered seeing. Thoroughly disturbed by what appeared to be these contradictions, she got in touch with a local historian. And he enlightened her to the point that she was absolutely dumbfounded. The Fotheringhay church she visited matched in every way the description of a building been pulled down in 1553. So it looks like, and the evidence supports the fact, she actually went back in time. And she's not the only one to have experienced a time slip. Biologist Ivan Sanderson walked briefly into a 15th century Paris while on a remote road in Haiti. He thought he was hallucinating until his wife was with him, confirmed she was seeing the same thing he was. Historian Arnold Toynbee was the victim of temporal slippage, not once, but five times. And as a result of what he saw, he wrote a book called The Study of History, which is considered a classic. But while these people and many others like them certainly felt they'd entered another time, they just making it up. Will they own something? Is time travel possible? Newtonian physics, the foundation of most of our practical technology, doesn't tell us how to travel through time. It doesn't say time travel is impossible either. In Newtonian math, time can flow backward or forward without influencing the outcome of the equations. Theory of relativity, on the other hand, clearly shows there are circumstances in which time travel can, and in fact it has to, occur. Now, Einstein spelled out one set in his famous twins paradox. In the twins paradox, one twin joins the crew of a spaceship capable of traveling close to the speed of light. He takes off into outer space. His twin stays home. If you assume that both twins were 30 years old when the astronaut left and the boy's last 5 Earth years on the ship, the astronaut twin ages 5 years according to every measure you can apply. So by the time he gets home, he's 35. But if the ship is traveling at 99% the speed of light, according to theory of relativity, which shows that time is moving 7 times slower on board than it is on the ground, that means the twin that stayed home is aged 35 years. And when his astronaut twin comes back to Earth, the Earthbound brother would be 65 years old, not 35. In other words, just because the astronaut raced at breakneck speed around the galaxy, he's now 30 years younger than his twin brother. Or, put it another way, he's voyaged 30 years into the future so far as life on Earth is concerned. And by any reasonable criterion, that would be considered time travel. But it's time travel in one direction only, from the present to the future. Einstein also announced his special theory of relativity in 1905. 69 years later, University of Maryland physicist named Frank Tipler used his insights and plans for a working time machine. And he published his ideas in Physical Review under the bewildering title, Rotating Cylinders and the Possibility of Global Causality Violation. Now, it turns out, if you read the article, Global Causality Violation was as weird a piece of geometry as you'd ever like to come across. A path that winds through space and time and turns around in time. Tipler's idea was to create a closed time-like line, as the peculiar path is called, by building a machine that distorted both space and time. And he was even able to explain how to do it in a single sentence. Relativity suggests that if we construct a sufficiently large rotating cylinder, we've created a time machine. Now, the sort of cylinder that you would need would have to be huge, too big to build on Earth. Initial calculations showed it'd be too long to lay across the whole east-west sweep of the United States. It'd also have to be heavy, heavier than lead, for example, or any other substance used in our current technology. What was needed was a super-dense material that has enormous mass but takes up very little room. He pointed out this sort of matter actually does exist. It can be found in neutron stars. Now, neutron stars are stars that collapse under their own weight, but don't go all the way to becoming a black hole. The electrons inside their atoms are plunged into the nucleus where they fuse with protons to become neutrons. That's where the name comes from. Atoms themselves are fused together so the whole star becomes one great atomic nucleus. It's the densest substance in the universe. If you could extract enough to fill a teaspoon, it'd weigh more than 1 billion tons. You might bend the spoon in the process. But even at that weight, a teaspoonful wouldn't be enough to create a Tipler cylinder. Physicist Fred Allen Wolf estimated the cylinder would need to be about 40 kilometers across and more than 4,000 kilometers long. And for that, you'd need 100 neutron stars. Now, it's clear that a Tipler cylinder is far beyond our present capability. But that's not to say building a Tipler cylinder is impossible. Most scientists agree if something is theoretically possible, technology will learn how to do it sooner or later. In the case of the Tipler cylinder, some form of advanced technology be used to push 100 neutron stars together. And to work, the cylinder needs to have a spin of about 10,000 revolutions per second. Fortunately, most neutron stars seem to revolve at that speed anyway. So put them together and you got a cylinder on its surface that's spinning at about 3/4 the speed of light. Now once that cylinder is in place, space and time begin to distort in clearly defined zones. Immediately surrounding the cylinder be a 20-kilometer wide zone where the fabric of time and space is changed in an almost unimaginable way. Physicists call it the deadly zone. There's no way you could exist in that zone. In fact, you probably couldn't get into it in the first place. You'd be repelled by the very nature of space and time at its boundary. Now, surrounding the deadly zone is the zone of time reversal. This is the area of space in which time runs backwards. Get into that zone, you become a time traveler by definition. The time travel zone is surrounded by a null time zone where time stands still. And this zone is surrounded by a positive time zone, where time runs in a familiar past-to-future direction. Since Einstein published his relativity theories, many physicists have speculated black holes or wormholes of the type made famous in Star Trek might form time gates. But if that's the case, everybody agrees it'd be strictly one way. The exciting thing about Tipler's time machine is that, in the words of one of his colleagues, it's possible, starting at any point in the outer regions of space, to travel to the interior, move backward in time, and then return to the original position. In other words, a Tipler cylinder would allow a time traveler to make a return trip. But there's something else about Frank Tipler's machine that's a little more exciting than that. We know we can't build a Tipler cylinder today. But if humanity builds one in 1,000 years or 10,000 years, even in 1 billion years, the gates that open will extend throughout the entire space-time continuum. That means if a Tipler cylinder is ever built by humanity, or even an alien race, at any time in the future, and its time gates actually exist today. Somewhere in space, beyond the solar system, our own astronauts may soon find a zone of time reversal. Now, this is an interesting speculation, but is there any evidence that a Tipler cylinder actually be constructed in our future? Well, surprisingly, the answer seems to be yes. First piece of evidence is circumstantial. Every year in the U.S. and throughout the world, there are thousands of reported sightings of disc-shaped objects in the sky. Now, most folks believe these are craft from an alien planet. Maybe they are. But isn't it an odd coincidence the gravitational stresses surrounding a Tipler cylinder mean the safest type of ship to enter the time zone is disc-shaped? Even if UFOs aren't flown by time travelers, there is evidence across the globe we've had visitors from a distant future. Call them time tourists, if you will, and some of them have left litter. Somebody once dropped several hundred metal balls in South Africa 2,800 million years ago, long before anybody manufactured metal balls or knew what a metal ball was. Same goes for a wide range of anomalous items. The polished concrete block wall found in the depths of an Oklahoma coal mine and estimated to be 286 million years old. The delicate gold chain of similar vintage found in Illinois, carved stone found in Iowa that was dropped about 260 million years before humanity even evolved on the planet. And a decorated metal vase from Massachusetts that's more than 600 million years old. Now, certainly there is explanations for these anomalies, but there's a limited number of explanations for finds of this type. One obvious possibility is that they're simply misdated. But it's difficult to see how a scientist could misdate something like a Massachusetts vase that was discovered encased in solid rock. Now, the possibility is that the artifacts were dropped not by human time travelers, but by visitors from space. Most scientists agree that life must exist elsewhere in the universe, and some of it has to be intelligent. Though you wouldn't think we were too intelligent if you happened to look at Congress on any given date. Some experts suggest there may be as many as 10 million advanced civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy alone, in addition to ourselves. But many scientists are generally united in the opinion, however much intelligence there is out there, it hadn't visited the Earth. Again, many of them point to Congress as proof. This is largely based on calculations showing the amount of energy required for interstellar travel is literally astronomical. But even if the scientists are wrong on this, many of the temporarily misplaced artifacts are of undoubted human origin. The carved stone from Iowa, for example, featured multiple representations of an old man's face. Then there was a fossilized human shoe print found in Utah shale that was 500 million years old. A human footprint was discovered in the Turkmen Republic of Eastern Europe, next to that of a three-toed dinosaur. And we have our experts who swear to us that dinosaurs and man did not coexist. Dinosaurs disappeared from our planet quite suddenly 65 million years ago. Until that happened, the most advanced mammal on the face of the globe was a little tree dweller no bigger than a mouse. Humanity itself is supposed to have evolved in Africa no longer than 100,000 years ago. And while there may be a case for adjusting this date backward, nobody suggests we could have walked the Earth in the days of the dinosaur. Unless we traveled back in time to do so. Well, we talk a lot today about the Russians, but they have scientists as well. And Russian scientists have been experimenting with a machine that can physically alter time for anything inside it. Vadim Alexandrovich Chernobrov and his colleagues have created a time machine, although still limited, has enormous potential and also represents an enormous danger. Now, Chernobrov graduated from the Moscow Aviation Institute, where he studied at the Department of Aeronautics and Automatic Flying Craft. His degree work and research thesis involved a project dealing with a promising space transport system. It contained an unusual electromagnetic engine that could be transformed into a time machine. Besides his main work at the Moscow Aviation Institute, Chernobrov is also a science editor and a columnist for several editorial offices of Russian newspapers. He's also an engineer responsible for designing spacecraft, and since 1988, he's labored to create a UFO-like flying machine. The time machine the Russians created is limited currently. It can only slow down or speed up time by 4 minutes in a 24-hour period. He hopes in the future the machine will be able to move through time and space at much faster speeds. And because of many years spent on research, the Russian scientist is ever more certain that but only a part of the UFOs are vehicles for travel through time. And he believes, in all probability, they've come here from the future. Now, Chernobrov mentions Albert Einstein's alleged secret calculations for the U.S. Navy experiments in 1943 that became what we know as the Philadelphia experiment. He believed that Einstein destroyed his manuscripts because he was afraid his ideas about time travel could be used to harm humanity. Russians, including Chernobrov, are certain Einstein's manuscripts contain mathematical substantiation that it's possible to travel to other dimensions and through time. And there are also rumors that an electromagnetic field that the U.S. military allegedly used that was based on Einstein's design was the basis of their plan to create an invisible ship. So what method did Chernyabrov use to alter time? He knew that neither chemical reactions nor revolving flywheels nor gravitational vortices were promising. All these processes have a very limited effect on time. It's also almost impossible to control these processes. Therefore, he rejected them in his attempt to create his transport system. Instead, his theory explains time, a physical phenomena under certain conditions as a manifestation of electromagnetic forces. It follows that with the help of such forces, time could be influenced. A time machine based on such a theory could be easily controlled and may be able to provide higher performance. The first model of the time machine was called Löwendotter. Began functioning April 8, 1988, and of course, being the first of a series, the results were modest. It was created with volunteer aid from experts in the Moscow Aviation Institute, the Khrunichev Aerospace Plant. This entity is now heavily involved in joint projects with American aerospace companies that work for the U.S. defense industry and scientific design bureaus Salyut and Energia. From 1988 to 1993, four experimental time machines were created, and all were lintel-shaped machines, constructed around a closed space that has special electromagnetic properties. And each unit has a control unit, a power unit, and instrumentation. The needed electromagnetic field configuration is created by a series of electromagnetic operating surfaces nested in each other under the Matryoshka principle. If you've ever seen those Russian wooden dolls in peasant dress, that you open it up, there's a small one inside. That's what we're talking about. These layers of flat electromagnets are twisted into an ellipsoid shape. The outer layer is either attached to the power shell or was itself a power source. Okay. There have been a number of experiments by the Russians with their Matryoshka process. And during experiments, scientists observed altered time outside the apparatus as well as inside. Time measurements were taken with a pair of quartz generators and a standard clock. The volume of payload in the center of the time machine was about the size of a soccer ball. So dogs, traditional pioneer travelers, weren't used. They used mice instead to experiment on. First experiments which transported insects and mice into the past killed the experimental animals, despite the time difference being only 2 seconds. And those who were stood too close to the time machine during the experiment developed symptoms of disease, analogous to the ones developed by American sailors who participated in the Philadelphia experiment. After the layout of the time machine was improved, the animal test pilot survived the process of transporting them through time. Chernyabrov believes humans will be able to travel through time at the beginning of the 22nd century. He thought the 21st century, which is where we're at right now, but I don't see any sign of that. The first experiments with the time machine have slightly raised the curtain that shrouds the mystery of time. According to the preliminary data, time has got a number of measures, heterogeneous and changeable. The present's but a passage of the multivariate future into the monovariate past. You might look at the present as the crown of the tree and the monovariate past as the tree trunk. Travel into the future is possible only through one branch, but the return to the present is possible through many of the branches, because all return to the time machine to the primordial point. Travel into the past guarantees the time machine to come to any event that's occurred. And if the event doesn't result in undesirable contacts and the movement of history isn't altered, the return to the starting line will be a piece of cake. Otherwise, return will take place through another branch. But the movement of history will change only for the time travelers. They won't be able to get to the point from which they started, find themselves in another version of the present, a parallel world, so to speak. Now, Chernyabrov understands what drove Einstein to destroy his manuscripts. In a world where there are wars, a time machine can be turned into a super weapon. For example, we know that the force of destruction of an explosive depends on the velocity of percussion. We put the charge into the capsule where the time flows differently. We can create a high explosive bomb from a simple hand grenade. And what if we use an atomic bomb instead of just a hand grenade? The time machine is a superb means of transportation. It's elusive. But no aircraft, no rocket can compare with it. Colonel Braun is certain, although Einstein burned his manuscripts, the ideas the great scientist developed couldn't be burned away. I mean, in fact, no direction of science can actually be blocked. What Chernobrov is concerned about is making sure that evil doesn't come from such ideas. And he's closely watched the work of other specialists who want to open the mystery of time. His experts have approached the problem from many different directions, but they weren't walking the right path. Not long ago, he found alarming reports about scientific research into certain high-temperature semiconductors. Because, frankly, you can't create a time machine without them. Then those reports stopped appearing in the international press as if the scientists had been silenced. He thinks the answer lies with the military. This has become a classified project. And this alarms the Russian scientists because of the time machine's potential to become a terrible superweapon. He calls upon all experts involved in the development of time machines to participate in international peaceful cooperation. And maybe he should look no further than his own backyard. The Russian newspaper Thrud published a report on July 30, 1992, about a flying saucer-like aircraft that underwent successful test flights. The craft was created and built at a military-industrial facility by experts from the Experimental Mechanical Engineering Design Bureau. And its movement's based on the following principle. A high-temperature superconductor travels about and is exposed to the rapid flow of electrons. And the report makes it clear the Russian military has come close to creating a time machine of its own. Means the creation of a real usable time machine isn't that far off. And though if they had one right now, of course, they would have decimated Ukraine instead of the continuing war we're faced with. You know, there have been a lot of stories about time travelers being among us. Abductees. I've been saying this under hypnosis for years. Scientists and others with similar biased views, such reports as hypnotic hearsay, but there seems to be first-hand evidence to support it. Now, excuse me. In addition to the accounts of patients, one doctor, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, began using a travel exercise to visit the fifth dimension, or hyperspace, so to speak, and experience contact with the future visitors himself. In fact, he's modified the Southern California greeting of "Have your people contact my people" to "Have your time traveler contact my time traveler." The first chrononaut, as he calls him, he met was named Traxa. Lives on Earth in the 36th century, when time travel be achieved through teleportation. As a result, he beams his physical body back and forth in time through an enlarged wormhole. That's a portal in space caused by a black hole. He says chrononauts travel back in time to monitor and exert influence on our lives. Before he made contact with Traxa, several of his time travel abductee patients informed him their chrononauts knew exactly who he was and had been monitoring his work for years. And Traxa, he said, has been using him to get the message out concerning time travel and spiritual growth. He was the one that guided Goldberg into discovering future life progressive, age progression going into the future of this life, super consciousness, mind taps. Now, despite their influence, though, time travelers do not usurp our free will. Goldberg was adamant about that. We can always reject their counsel, as he ignored Trax's telepathic guidance concerning his ET abductee work for two decades. The chrononauts have to be a patient breed to have waited out his stubbornness. Now, chrononauts intervene in the past to stimulate our intellectual growth. That's their view of it. And he talked about one, Traxa told Goldberg about one of his visits to our time a few years ago. He traveled in Chicago dressed in civilian clothes. to attend a meeting of scientific researchers. He wanted to telepathically guide their research. Following the conference, Traxa returned to the fifth dimension and his sudden dematerialization was observed by a private investigator on his lunch break. Realizing he'd left a folder behind, Traxa rematerialized to the same location, was seen again by that private detective. Now, while he was being observed, Traxa played along, led the detective to a coffee shop where he ordered a sandwich and a cup of coffee. After he left, he said the private eye bribed the waitress, got his Traxa's coffee cup and a handkerchief, and ran a check on his fingerprints with the FBI and Interpol. Now, of course, attempts like this to identify somebody would be futile. How are we going to identify a man who won't exist for another 1,600 years? To a similar end, chrononauts have sent objects back in time for us to discover in order to make or question our view of our own history. For example, in 1844, a gold thread embedded in a stone 8 feet beneath the ground was found. It originated from 320 to 360 million years ago. And I talked earlier about a metallic vase with inlaid figures found in Dorchester, Massachusetts. It's about 600 million years old. A chalk ball found 246 feet below the ground in Lyon, France, in 1861 is 45 to 55 million years ago. And hundreds of perfect metal spheres found in South Africa bear three parallel grooves around their equators. They date back to 2.8 billion years ago, and the only life on this planet consisted of single-cell organisms. Now, according to Goldberg's information, time travel will be discovered around 3050 by a man named Tatos. He is the Hermes of ancient Egypt and the very first chrononaut. Prior to transporting himself back in time, Tatos sent holographic images into the past. And these were the source of many ocular visions described by ancient civilizations such as the Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans. He says time travelers communicate with us during our dream cycle. It's during REM sleep that we leave our physical bodies and enter hyperspace, where we get the ability to see fifth-dimensional people. And this explains the importance of the sleep temples of the ancients and their dream incubation techniques. For example, in Egypt, certain priests were trained to translate the dreams of the ill into a cure. These priests were called masters of the secret things, or scribes of the double house, and they administered potions to afflicted individuals to promote dreaming. And the wormhole mechanism that Traxa uses to visit our time would be perfected during the 35th century, according to Goldberg. And monitoring and abductions by time travelers have increased markedly during the last 500 years. Traxa has told Goldberg there are many time travelers around today. They come from 1,000 to 3,000 years in the future. They don't hold public office, so don't put themselves in positions of attention. They remain in the background and observe us from the fifth dimension in order to remain undetected. Now, normally, humans see only three dimensions, length, width, and depth. We can't see time, that's the fourth dimension. When you think beyond time, such as the fifth through the 26th dimensions, for chrononauts to interact physically on Earth, they have to slow their vibrational frequency and enter our three-dimensional world. And that's the only time during our waking state that we can see them. As extra-dimensional beings, chrononauts have abilities to help them in their mission. They can communicate with us in our dreams, place us in suspended animation, and levitate us at will. They've mastered hyperspace travel between dimensions, can move through walls and solid objects, and float through the air. And though some less advanced chrononauts sometimes make errors, they learn to manipulate time and space with great proficiency. They're also adept at genetic engineering. By changing our chromosomes, they've increased the rate of human evolution. Now, they're said to be spiritual people. They follow us from lifetime to lifetime, tracing our souls back to previous lives, monitoring our spiritual unfolding. Well, it's interesting to note that in spite of all the positive things you can say about time travel, the concept of parallel universes isn't new. It's normally been relegated to the realm of the fantastic, though. The The World on the Other Side of the Looking Glass and Alice in Wonderland, The Realm of Narnia and The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and that of many supercharged high-adventure parallel realms that can be found in science fiction. From a literary standpoint, the creation of a parallel universe allows the author to explore possibilities that can't be found in her own linear reality. So we find artistic works in which the protagonist encounters their double, worlds in which the outcomes of a war ended differently than in the prime reality, or completely different levels of existence ranging from the heavenly to the horrific. These authors would perhaps be surprised to learn that truth is stranger than fiction, and that reality offers stories no less strange than the product of their imaginations. In the 5th century B.C., Anaxagoras, a Greek philosopher at the Ionian school, came up with a theory by which he hoped to explain the origin of all things, which was a daunting task even from antiquity's perception of reality. He stated that matter had originally existed as atoms, which paved the way for the philosopher Democritus' own atomic theory. And while only fragments of this Greek genius's work survive into our time, some of them are quite interesting. Anaxagoras believed that other men and other living species lived in a sort of anti-Earth, bathed in the light of a sun and a moon, and whose inhabitants, like ourselves, possessed cities and built other objects. He placed his anti-Earth in what we might wittily call the flip side of his flat, discordial Earth. The surviving fragments of his treatise, which is entitled On Nature, don't tell us if Anaxagoras believed there could be contact between the sentient beings of both worlds, but another group of thinkers about 1,000 miles away had developed a similar cosmology and made it part of their religion. The Puranas, a summary of Hindu mythology, philosophy, and ritual, speak about the Dwipas as part of their cosmological belief. These levels of existence, for want of a better term, consist of 7 continents, Jambu, Plaksa, Shamali, Kusha, Krancha, Shaka, and Pushkara. And each has oceans and mountain ranges and inhabitants and so on. And it's kind of hard to celebrate the clearly metaphorical, such as the oceans of sugarcane juice and clarified butter that surround some of these metaphysical lands, from those that are more firmly grounded in reality. Some of the provinces into which Jambu Dwipa is subdivided, for example, appear to correspond to the physical subcontinent of India, bordered by the Himadri Mountains on the north and the Saltwater Ocean, or the Indian Ocean on the south. Beyond these confines, the rest seem to merge into the reality of we've come to associate in the West with the mythical lands like Leonis, Turinand Ag, the Isle of Avalon, and St. Brendan's Isle. Concept of the Dwipas became known in the West during the late 19th century through the work of the Theosophical Society, which was fueled by the general interest in Eastern matters that characterized that particular period of history. Well, according to Charles Johnson, FTS, in the April 1889 issue of The Path, it's the opinion of many at the present day that the almost grotesque myths and fantastic geographical and astronomical descriptions contained in the religious writings are really deliberately contrived and constructed allegories by which the ancient sages sought to veil what they called the sacred truths. And on that note, we come to the end of today's show. We'll talk more about time travel and all things paranormal in our next show. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.